This is OSLCC Chapter 25, Tracing Our Roots, celebrating 25 years of cultural centers. Broncos, some near, some far, but no matter where you are, we're speaking to you and we hope you're listening. And you never know, we might even be engaging with you real soon.
Go. So we are recording episode 11, La Unión Formation with Doctora Lorena Marquez. Hello, everyone. I am your host, Reggie Robles, he, him, his. And today we have the pleasure of bringing on Doctora Lorena Marquez to give us some insight to the formation of La Unión within the Cesar E. Chavez for Higher Education Center. So we want to bring, I want to bring her in to introduce herself.
Hola, hola. My name is Lorena, she, her, ella, and I guess I'll start with just some context. I was at Cal Poly Pomona's campus for about 22 years, started there as a student, and then just kind of found my places and created a second home, almost a first home, with the different student clubs, organizations, but then also as a professional in athletics, worked in the Chavez Center for about six seasons, and then the polytransfer area in academic affairs. I was at the Chavez Center for a good amount of time and just really felt like that was a place where I was able to develop as a student, but then also as an incoming professional into the field of social justice and equity and inclusion, belonging, and all that. And I think that for me now being the director of the cross-cultural centers, I know that all those experiences help to inform my understanding of who I am and also how to have great conversations with students about who they are as well.
Awesome. Yeah. No, so I think the interesting thing about this is that when you were coming into the Chavez Center, I was either a first year or second year, right? And so it was almost like
2009.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So yeah, so I was a second year. Yeah, I was in my probably what was it, springtime when you
It was October 2009.
Okay, so I was in my second year already. And so at that time, we had barely sort of started thinking about this whole notion of clubs and organizations coming together, but no one had really taken the reins on it. Like, it was almost like it was just up in the air, right? And so here you come in, and like, you have a lot of energy, like everybody's like just quickly gravitating to your positive energy. And so what's going on in your perspective at that time with these clubs and organizations, and then also SECHE as well?
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, I was privileged to be able to be on the campus as a student. So La Unión was in existence way before I even was a student. And what I know in terms of the history was that La Unión was created because there was only a handful of Chicanx, Latinx student clubs and organizations on the campus, right? And to think right now, like, a handful to what we know, right? It's not just a handful anymore. It's grown. It's definitely been empowered to be what it is now. And so I know that when I was a part of the Mexican American Student Association, I was engaged with La Unión through Dia de los Muertos and Raza Grad, and knowing that came out of the Chavez Center. And so ironically, as much as I said like the Chavez Center was a key component of my growth as an undergrad, it wasn't that where I spent my time. My time I spent in the Mexican American Student Association, the casita, you know, the historic house that is on that college campus that has been protected and protested to be able to have that visibility. And I mentioned that because often we forget like just the struggle that occurs, and La Unión was a part of that struggle, right? And they wanted to unite because they knew that they were more when they were all together and uniting. And so part of that, you know, I saw it in how the Chavez Center and the coordinator then, Doctora Corina Benavides Lopez, she was the one that just managed and welcomed students and created a space where La Unión could then also continue to develop and then be implemented with the Chavez Center. I think when I came in, I definitely wanted to see not just the usual folks be engaged. I wanted to challenge other student clubs and organizations that were Chicanx, Latinx identified to also know that La Unión was them and to understand that if in true unity, all of us had to do some part. And so, you know, what I did was just really have the open door policy of having conversations with different members of different organizations. I think at one point I was advising about 5 to 6 Chicanx, Latinx, La Unión organizations on paper, and then maybe 5 or 6 more, right? And I know when I was there was about 20 to 22 clubs and orgs that were part of La Unión. And yeah, I cemented that as part of our role systematically, institutionally, to help the organizations to come together and to understand their uniqueness, because they obviously have different missions or visions, but then also the unity, you know, the reason that La Unión was needed is to always stay connected to each other and to see each other's beautiful differences, but then also to come together around big programs and events. And those were, I mean, I just added them to Día de los Muertos, right? In the sense of like, it was already part of what they did, but it was more of like La Unión was part of what the Chavez Center was doing in order to get La Unión members to come. I don't know if that makes complete sense, but basically the social justice leaders were, one was given the responsibility to make sure La Unión was flourishing. And then we would connect with other members from La Unión to be able to have them be involved as well. So it's not just the Chavez Center driven, but that it was driven by both, right? The center and then the students and the membership of La Unión.
So let's talk about that a little bit more. So you sort of saw the beginning stages of La Unión, right? As a student, and then also as a professional, right? And so what was the structure back then, right? Like who was running La Unión? Was it professionals or was it students? And at the same time, like, was it meeting structure? Was it like, hey, let's just talk about different issues, current issues that sort of may revolve around social justice? Or was it, and then now, when you became a professional and you sort of like took that role, what was that kind of structure? Mm-hmm. Was it the same? Was it different?
Yeah, you know, and that's a really good question. I can only give like what I was thinking during the time that I was a student, how I saw La Unión, and it could be completely opposite of how it was being run, right? But as a student, I saw La Unión as the meeting time, the space to come together to get involved. And really it was like, it was to get involved. I think it was like a choice. And I feel I came in and I said, this is not a choice. There's a representation matters, right? And that every single organization really needs to be able to have someone come to the table to learn about all the things that the Cesar E. Chavez Center for Higher Education was up to. And not just the big events, quite honestly, but then also all the other resources that existed on campus. And I think that once there was a buildup of being able to see that I wanted to work with students to be able to create a community, then students started to step up and step into those roles too. I think, you know, the perfect example was of, you know, Hilda Solis, the Hilda Solis Scholarship, and asking every single member, and this was done before me, so I'm not saying that it didn't happen before me, but just really like following through with like having the students know that this is the deadline of the of when the application was out, and then also having them be representatives to watch and to see the magic of being a part of a scholarship reception, and if there was folks like, you know, Hilda Solis that were attending, you know, that was a magical time. And during my time there, I mean, she was on campus. And so she would walk into the space very nonchalantly, and I would make sure to connect students with those resources. And so Lañón to me was like the resource hub for the organizations. And I really wanted them to see that and also to be that, right? And to be resources to each other. I think in the past, I definitely, as a student, just saw the Chavez Center as a space where I had to go to for meetings. But because that's how I saw it, I wanted to be able to also let other organizations know that there's so much more resources that can come from the Chavez Center. And, you know, some of that doesn't mean the space. You know, I worked really hard on the social media and really making sure that not all Latinx identified students were on campus from 8 to 5, right? And so that they knew that there was resources that they can get even after hours.
So looking at going back to the structure, what organizations would you say that were the founding organizations, and how did they came about towards putting this together?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really have the historic context of the formation, but I do know that it was, you know, the organizations that were only around at that time. And so I want to say perhaps it was, for sure it was the Mexican American Student Association, for sure it was MECHA. I believe that perhaps it may have been, at that time there was Delta Delta. Which, aren't you Delta Delta?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, because I know that when I was a student, I knew a lot of really awesome people from Delta Delta. Alpha Pi Sigma had been around. And so, I mean, it's a good question, because it's probably like a good blog or research to put together. And, you know, you can all tap me to look into that and work with others as well. But I think that, yeah, the formation was very much student driven. And I think that once the Chavez Center came into the picture, it was about like, how do you institutionalize it? And so I think, you know, with the folks that came before me, they did their part, that then everybody that comes after, right, just does a little bit more. And so I think, you know, being able to have students also see the importance of like being engaged in La Unión, like accountability, Dia de los Muertos, I definitely was like, there's a fee, right? There's a fee to be a part of Dia de los Muertos, but it was a fundraising fee for undocumented students in the Dream Scholarship. The Dream Scholarship was already there, right? But it was more of like, let's create a structure where these organizations are using this opportunity to fundraise, but they also need to, one, learn and also be able to understand like more about a community that was in the shadows and you know, and still continues to fight to not be in the shadows.
So what would you say have been the biggest accomplishments, successes, or accolades of La Unión, in your opinion, throughout this time?
I mean, I think just continuing to stay alive, quite honestly, because when you think about the different seasons of organizations and even now in the time of COVID, I mean, I've heard folks talk about just how student orgs our membership and how that's kind of going down, engagement, it's a test to that, right? This is one of those times where like making sure to think outside of the box to keep La Unión alive. And the accomplishment is that it continues to build unity and create like everyone around the table to have like hard conversations, because, you know, Café con Seche came out of like, let's have conversations that aren't meeting or don't feel like meetings, but is still a part of what La Unión is all about, like all the things that folks were sharing. And sometimes it wasn't like, you know, like any familia, there's disagreements and different points of views. So having conversations proactively about that, and that came from La Unión. And I think La Unión existing, La Unión being created and existing is an important aspect of what Cal Poly Pomona is, and more importantly, the Chavez Center, you know, in terms of being able to support La Unión with different ways of funding and also creating community and connection with others. I think at one time there's, you know, different mechanisms and different ways to be able to create like connection. And at one point the idea of like people get paired up with other organizations, right? So this organization has to do a program with this organization. And it sounds maybe like silly, but I think it was very intentional of like organizations that maybe would have never like had a conversation or even like chatted, even if in the same room, right? And so in the space, you're able to think about like, okay, how do we create unity through this time that we are here together? It's going to look, La Unión is going to look different every single year. And the reason is there's always going to be a change and shift in students. But I think being able to be at like the forefront of Latinx students is what La Unión is all about, to help inform the coordinator, to help inform policies, to help inform the institution. To me, it was, you know, it was where I also, you know, handpicked, had conversations with certain students about future goals and about concerns or issues that were occurring in campus. It was where students were also able to see me and the social justice leaders as individuals that they can approach with an issue, right? And so I think that that's the biggest accomplishment. Heck yeah, we've grown in Raza Grad. Oh, yes, Dia Los Muertos has developed into a whole other kind of event. But that's not an accomplishment in that I see as the most valuable. The most valuable is that it continues to stay alive and it continues to create opportunities of unity. Even if it's, you know, going to look different every year, I think that it continues to thrive is important. And I know that when I came in, there was like, you know, it has to be chartered and all the following the rules and all that. And so I know that I put a significant importance in La Unión, and a lot of it was because of making sure that we then had the space to create space for others.
So you mentioned a lot about like the other, like the events, right, that La Unión sort of participated in. I wanted to ask, how has La Unión shaped the work of the center, right, of Chavez Center, primarily in maybe social issue times? You know, there we throughout the time, right, like even going back to the Massa House, right? Mm-hmm. How have you seen it develop where it's really make a significance? Push of well, what were the priorities of the center at, or maybe they weren't, right? Like maybe that's just a misconception that I may have.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think again, like La Unión is the voice of the students. And so being able, for me, during my time there, there was a lot of work already that was done for the undocumented student population and you know, mixed families. But that is when La Unión really came together to support, like through fundraising fiscally, but then also come together to understand the importance of the Dreamers Ally training that we developed. And so it was through first and foremost our community that we were able to get the word out and really have folks understand that this is a population of people in their student club organization as well. And so with that, you know, we had lots of support from the students. The students were the ones that led the beginnings of the Dreamers Ally training. And we had lots of meetings and conversations and kept La Unión in the loop and asked of them to assist in certain ways. And they were there for that. They were there for that because they they knew without saying anything that they had a brother, a member, a leader in their organization that had that identity, but was also maybe not as spoken and as knowledgeable in terms of how to assist that student, how to be there for that person when things were happening outside of our parameters of Cal Poly Pomona. So I think that that's how I have seen, you know, the impact of La Union be able to, you know, organize in a way that it is a little bit harder, quite honestly, because before with five or six organizations, it's, you know, you get folks around the table, but at the end of the day, whether it's 20 or 30 or 50, you know, Chicanx, Latinx student organizations, the unity of La Union is that we're here for our people, our gente, and I think that that's something that I have seen time and time again, that they show up. They show up in many different ways. And I'll bring up, you know, there's been a lot of, in my time there, I feel like there was a loss. There was a lot of loss, a lot of pain also. And so we had a member of Hermanas Unidas who battled cancer. We had an hermano from Hermanos Unidos who we lost, and I see the beauty, the knacks, you know, they had lost a brother. And so I see the beauty of that, you know, like we can't say it's like this program or that program, but it's like seeing each other come out to support when it gets hard, like a family, right? Like I said, like differences and maybe some fights here and there and like complaints about this org or that org. But at the end of the day, we want to see each other be lifted.
What would you say about La Union as a whole? As you left the center, right? Mm-hmm. Where did you feel it was at, and what can you see the possibilities turning into, and maybe you already are seeing it during this virtual environment, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when I left the center, I was at complete peace. You know, like it was almost like the transition was very divine, you know, and it was meant to be. And I also felt very blessed to be able to stay on campus for a little bit still, right? And see some of the students that I had seen come through still finish and thrive. And so I think what I've seen happen with La Union is just, again, after me, folks that have come after have just continued to add to the space. And also have been able to really think through like how to make La Union more connected. Obviously, my marketing background is all about the T-shirts. I'm sure you got one of those T-shirts. So I will say, like, you know, when I saw that Wendy made a black shirt with the same design, I mean, you can't reproduce that level of feeling for the love for your community, because it is done in wholehearted like love, you know, like, I mean, you know, she saw something that was working and just took it to the next level and included La Union, where those shirts were for volunteers, which were some La Union members and others. But it's just like being able to like see something that's already there and like to make connections and to really like make sure that the students feel like they're part of the center and the space. And I think, you know, it goes back to the research about belonging, right? Making sure that students feel like they belong. La Union is that, has that like component in that niche to be able to create belonging. Yes, the center is a space, but through different types of ways, La Union can bring students together in order for them to be able to feel like they belong. You and I as professionals can tell students and share with students our, you know, past student times. But really it's about the peer-to-peer, right? And so as much as we want students to take advantage of these spaces, it's still about like the time they spend with each other. And La Union is that, like, it's student run with Chavez Center support is how I have always seen it. And if there's any issues, it's kind of like the place where there's a council to really have like those hard conversations. Yeah. And I think that sometimes if we don't create that kind of space, then we just are walking around with no purpose. And I always want to make sure that, especially for students that are trying to find belonging, that La Union understood their bigger role as part of La Union, but then also their role as whatever organization that they were. And, you know, and as you're asking me all these questions, I'm reflecting on just like the wonderful feelings that I had when I would walk down up and down the campus, because, you know, I was a walker. Yeah. And just seeing people tabling and you know, a lot of like, oh Lorena, buy a hot dog. And I'm like, I'm a vegetarian, you know that. But just like, you know, I guess I didn't really think about just how much time and energy I did put into all the students, the clubs and organizations, because I think that for me it was like what was the most important and the priority, you know, and La Union just was such an easy way to be able to tap into that. All orgs are part of La Union, right? All Chicanx, Latinx identified groups on campus are part of La Union. Did all come, you know, that's another thing, but we always reached out. And I think, yeah, I think that the beauty is to be able to see that those individuals, even now, you know, like yourself, are still reaching out and saying like, hey, Lorena, come be on a podcast.
So here's a loaded question. What do you think, what do you believe is the legacy of the cultural centers?
Whew, that is a loaded question. But I also think it's a needed question, quite honestly, because too many people will often write off the cultural centers as like with fear, like in terms of like leading with fear. And I've never seen that, and not anyone that runs a center, obviously, but other folks is, but it's important to understand just the magic that occurs within these spaces. And that's the part that I feel I experienced time and time again. And, you know, the impact and what they are to be. You're making me cry, Reggie. I literally am thinking of all the faces, you know, like all the faces of the people, the students, the staff and the faculty that love the spaces. And I think sometimes that gets forgotten, but the evolution of the cultural centers really has to be that they are places of love and support, and not to have fear around being able to state that, because our students need that. Our students need that more than ever now, quite honestly, more than ever in the time that we're in. And the professionals that run them need to be acknowledged for that. That there's a lot of hurt and pain that they deal with themselves, but also with their students, that we take on a lot of what they feel. And, you know, in a world that I see coming, it really is about making sure that we're well and that we're taken care of. And the cultural centers are at the forefront of that. And to be able to evolve into that kind of mindset, you know, the cultural centers can lead. The cultural centers can most definitely lead. Now that we talk about, you know, mental wellness and well-being, I mean, that's what the La Union has been doing for the last couple of years, you know? Yeah. It's taking care of each other. And stepping in when they haven't had that in the past, whether it be because of their own family or whatever it may be. But I think that the evolution for sure of our spaces is to be seen as spaces that is doing the most important work, and that from the cultural center's models, that should be the way and the culture that is created in many different spaces all over campus. And so that's a hard, it's hard, but it's not impossible. And I think, you know, there's, when I think of all the faces, they're doing it in other spaces, right? And one of the faces is yours, right? You're doing it in the space as well. And so I think that it's important to know that there's a lot of hope around being able to believe that what we do in these spaces for students is a part of the bigger picture of what institutions should be moving towards doing in general. And it's hard to capture those stories. Like, I mean, you know now, right? You know, like, it's hard to capture all those stories and that feeling that you can't explain. You can't have someone else feel the feeling, but the stories can help. And so I think for me, it's like, if I were to say what needs to happen now for La Unión is to really get like this, but more of their stories, you know, the students, like, get a La Unión rep from the first La Unión to talk about the feeling of bringing it together. And I would imagine that they would reflect on just how much they have created, you know, and how much we have all built upon it too. Because like I said, the impact of La Unión is that it's still here. And I think oftentimes it's a reminder of, like, we are still here too, right? And that we're meant to be here.
Well, I just want to say, and I mean, I can't thank you enough. And I'm sure that a lot of the students that have gone through the center during your time can echo my sentiments, that you definitely made a huge impact in every student that walked through that center. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're definitely acknowledged. You're definitely a pillar of the cultural centers at Cal Poly Pomona. Your name will always be cemented there, right? Because of all the amazing things that you were fortunate to bless everyone else with. Mm-hmm. And so with that, should we say bye?
I just started crying. I felt like we were going to have a really great cry fest, but you know, thank you. I mean, thank you for those words. And I do believe in the power of words and just sharing that. And I guess, just to like close it out, it's like, you know, all those that were part of like my time there, it's like, I just want to say thank you too, to giving me like the love that I was giving, because I think it was needed for both, you know, like it was vice versa of like creating, when you create, unless you're just like someone that just takes, like you create with people. And so nothing I did was me. It was so many other people, you know? And I think I just want to express that gratitude and say that, you know, I love you and I love everyone that was a part of my journey at Cal Poly, but yeah, specifically the Chavez Center, because that was, I mean, that's who we are. That's who I am, you know? Yeah. I can't turn off my brownness, nor will I. Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today. And so with that, thank you so much.
And I'll just say paz, amor, and justicia.